everyone, and welcome back into a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are returning back downtown to the Flea Theater for our show today. We are returning to the Rogue Theater Festival, which is happening June 3rd through the 9th, as I mentioned, at the Flea Theater. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting roguetheaterfestival.com. Joining us today, we have some incredible artists who have fabulous shows part of this festival. First, I'd like to introduce you to Ryan Vaughn, who is the playwright and director of the show Even When the Storm Comes, which is a digital video on demand with the festival. We then have Austin Willard, the playwright and performer, as well as Andre Otabo, who's also one of the performers in the piece Scout's Guide to Conquering Your Childhood Fear, another digital video on demand at the festival. Then we have the playwright Patricia Lynn here to speak about her piece Transylvania or The Weekend After Dracula Died. And that is a live reading at the Flea Theater. And Connor Wentworth and their piece, which they've written, is called Screenplay. And it's also a live reading at the festival. Some wonderful artists, great titles if you haven't caught on. And I can't wait to dive more into them. I'm sure you can't either. So let's go ahead and welcome on our lovely group today. Everybody, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. Thank you all so much for joining me today. Thank you for these wonderful pieces already. I mean, the title, Chef's Kiss, y'all should be very proud about that. If that came across my email from like Theater Mania or something, I'd immediately click on it and be like, tell me more. And so, you know, kind of with that, I would love if all of you would tell us a little bit about your piece. And Ryan, can we start first with you and your piece, Even When the Storm Comes?
Absolutely. So Even When the Storm Comes tells the story of a community that is very tight-knit. Everyone knows everyone. It's very safe, very tranquil. But then you rock it with some unexpected events, and you get to see a step through grief and kind of the trauma experience and how different people might experience that.
That is fabulous. Austin Willard, you're the playwright of this piece, Scout's Guide to Conquering Your Childhood Fears. Tell us about that.
Yeah, of course. Andre, you can tag along with this if you want to. But Scout's Guide to Conquer Your Childhood Fear is basically essentially about a boy about 15 years in age. He's an adventure scout, kind of lost in this wood. His greatest phobia kind of comes to life, which is being lost and having nowhere to turn but himself. He only has his wits and this, you know, insanely problematic imaginary friend that kind of just, you know, makes things a bit harder for him, a bit more interesting, and a bit more life thrilling, I should say. But yeah.
That is very cool. Patricia Lynn, take us on a journey with your piece, Transylvania, or The Weekend After Dracula Died.
Yes, so this play takes place the weekend after Dracula died. And it focuses on two characters from the novel, John Harker and Mina Murray, who are the two survivors. And Mina killed Dracula, and now John is starting to have symptoms. He was not bitten, though. So it's over the weekend, he is re-examining the diary he kept while he was kidnapped in Transylvania, trying to figure out if and what Dracula did to him.
That is awesome. And rounding us out, we have Connor Wentworth, your play, Screenplay. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's exactly what it sounds. It's a parody slash adaptation slash inspiration of the Wes Craven Scream movie franchise with a fun little Gen Z twist on it. It's a college conservatory performing arts campus where everything's going down. So because there's nothing scarier than theater majors with a killing rage is the little tagline I've been using. So it's a look at what happens on college campuses and how administrations handle colleges in time of crisis or lack thereof. But it's funny.
I love it. So listeners, as you can tell, we've got four great pieces with us today. I'm so excited to pick them apart a little bit more, dive underneath the surface. And the first thing I want to ask is, how did you come upon this piece, or where did you come up with the idea for this? And Connor, I want to stick with you first on that.
Yeah, I grew up watching the Scream franchise. It was always one of my favorite things. I went to a performing arts institution for college. And then a couple years after I graduated, a year actually after I graduated, I was living in San Francisco and I was watching my friends who still went to that school having to navigate a really strenuous on-campus event, and the administration just was like not responding to it at all. And then that same night where everything was starting, I went and saw Scream 5 in theaters. And I was like, maybe there's a story here. And I was in an MFA program at the time in San Francisco for playwriting. And I started writing the play. And I just kept writing it and having as much fun as possible while also trying to like approach a serious subject matter, but do it in a way where it's like fun and enjoyable to engage with versus something that's like really going to hurt your feelings, like some of my other work is. And it's just been like a lot of fun to play with this format and see what I can do with horror on stage and comedy.
That is so cool. Andre Otabo, how is it that you came upon your piece, A Scout's Guide to Conquering Your Childhood Fear?
Well, I can't say it was my piece. I definitely think it was 100% Austin's, but I can tell you how I remember sometime in February, Austin like texting me and being like, hey man, I think I'm writing something that I don't know, but you know, whenever you get the time to read it, please read it. Let me know what you think. And I was like, all right. And you know, I mean, we're all super busy. You know, we're all actors. We're all trying to do our own thing. I never got around to it, but he kept texting me. He was like, hey man, I'm still writing it. I feel really good about it. So a couple months later, I was able to sit down and really read it. And I remember like I finished reading it and I called him and I was like, dude, you gotta like, you have no choice. You have to get this out there and show it. Like it's other people have got to read this. And so, yeah, I mean, I think Austin would be able to better talk about how it was created. But from my perspective, he started on it and it started off as something super fun. He was not trying to write even play, perhaps. He was just writing. And then the story started coming to him. The words started coming to him. And Scout's Guide was born.
That is incredible. Let me ask all of you now, I'm interested to know, why did you want to submit your new work to the Rogue Theater Festival? And Patricia, I'm going to come to you first on that, if I may.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think Rogue is just a great opportunity to just see it on its feet, especially like at the stage reading perspective, and also, but giving you flexibility. So like we're doing it with book in hand, but we're not doing music stands. They're moving around. They're doing some of the physicality because that felt important to the piece. And it was a great way to have agency for your own work. I mean, I think we all love our plays so, so much. So having that agency to like be in a festival and be supported, but also direct it or act in it or do whatever you want to do to help bring it to life. It's just really nice as an artist to be given that opportunity.
Wonderful answer. Ryan, how about you?
In a lot of ways, my experience with how I found Rogue and decided to go with that is similar. Rogue to me is kind of a diamond in the rough. It gives you agency to work on your piece, but also allows you all these opportunities to take it in ways that you might not normally at a festival, like to have yourself be the director or in it, or all these different types of plays that Rogue allows into the festival that a lot of festivals kind of like try to work with only one type of piece. And so I love the versatility of Rogue.
That is a wonderful, wonderful idea. Austin, I want to come to you and ask you that same question. Why did you want to submit your new work to the festival?
You know, I didn't know much about the history of Rogue Theater Festival. A friend of mine recommended it to me from my alma mater from high school, a school of the arts in North Carolina. And, you know, it was just a Scout's Guide invitation of just a lot of things to say in a very small metaphorically. I'm a 20-year-old college student. Rogue offered to do the Scout's Guide production like for its first full like production at the Flea Theater in New York by like March. And I was like, yeah, that's probably not gonna be that, you know, I probably can't pull that one through. But like the digital reading was a great way to kind of start it off and a great way to get some interest as I've been producing it at IRT from like June 14th to the 16th, I think. Yes, at IRT. And so it was just a great way for me to figure out where my audience is and kind of have fun with the process of doing a reading.
That is amazing. And Connor, how about you? What was your reason for submitting?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as extravagant, but I found the listing on Playbill. And I had just done a little table reading of screenplay as I was developing the script back in January. And I came across the Playbill listing later that same week. And I was like, maybe I do have something here. Let me see if someone picks it up. And now here we are. So clearly we all know the answer to what happened there. And I just wanted to, you know, I already mentioned this, a lot of my writing, playwriting before was like really experimental, kind of sad, kind of heady. And this is enjoy life, be silly, but everyone's getting murdered. So it's like, I just wanted to see what happened if I put something else out there and see what the response would be.
That is fantastic. Now, you all have these diverse works, and I would love to know, what is the message or thought that you're hoping that audiences will take away from them? And Ryan, can I start with you on that?
So my thought process on like the takeaway is twofold. First, this idea that experiences are going to hit people differently. You know, a lot of times when we talk about things that happen to people, we all expect things sometimes to happen in the same way. Like one of the big things that I focus on is the grief process. And a lot of times we talk about the seven stages of grief, right? And people seem to think that once you go through the seven stages of grief on a certain event, then you're done with the process. But that isn't at all what's going on, right? And so the play shows the different ways that we can all be affected by the same event differently. And then also, it's a drama and it hits hard. But at the end of the day, the message is also that there's always hope somewhere in the rough.
That is fabulous. Fabulous. Connor, how about you with your play screenplay? What is the message or thought you hope audiences take away?
Yeah, so for me, I'm really hoping that what we're able to walk away from with screenplay is looking at the desperation that sometimes college students feel like they have to rely on in order to get the help that they need and the support they need from the place where they're paying to go to school and receive an education. That's like the ultimate baseline of it all. Obviously, it's a scream satire and a murder satire, so it's taken to a much further extreme than I hope ever happens on an actual college campus. But, and so with that, I also hope it gives the audience this little like lackadaisical step away from it, where they're able to laugh at what's happening while also still engaging with text that is dealing with a contemporary issue that I find rather important.
That's a great idea. Patricia, how about you with this piece that you've written? What's the message or thought you're hoping audiences take away?
Yeah, so there's some vampire fun. It's not as funny as Connor's piece, it sounds like, but we've definitely got some drama. And I think what I'm hoping audiences take away is it is a study in masculinity in terms of John is our main character and he's dealing with trauma and grief, but sometimes can't process it because he needs to be the man of the family. And also his partner, who is a woman, is the one who killed the monster, not him. Huh. What does that mean to him? And then as the play evolves, kind of realizes, I think the only time he felt like a man was when he was with Dracula. And what does that mean? You only feel like a true man when you're with a monster.
Ooh, I like that. That is really interesting. Andre, bring us home on this question. As one of the performers of the piece, what's the message or thought you hope audiences will take away?
Oh, man. I think the thing that I would want them to leave with is, life can be tough, but that doesn't mean that it's bad. You know, and I think that's something that just, you know, I graduated college a couple weeks ago. And I guess that was, I don't know, you think that you know what life is? And I'm 22. I still have a lot of life to live. I don't at all think that I understand fully what it is, but I don't know. Like I think it hits you in waves, especially, you know, when you're growing up and you're starting to understand what it means. And I think for the piece that Austin wrote, I want the audience to leave and just think about what their perception of life is and whether that aids them in their journey is what I would say. I definitely want them to leave and just think about themselves and think about the things that they've gone through and how maybe there are things that you picked up from your parents that you weren't even aware of that you're carrying with you to this day. Like, what does that mean? What kind of person do you want to be? And what kind of things can you do to get to where you want to go? That is what I would say.
That is a brilliant, brilliant idea. I really love that. My final question for all of you in this first part, I want to ask you all, what do you hope to do with your piece after the festival is done? Patricia, I would like to start first with you on that, if I may, and your piece, Transylvania or The Weekend After Dracula Died.
Yeah, so I think we're hoping, you know, full productions at some point next year and kind of using this opportunity to kind of test it for a small house and kind of be like, hey, what do you get out of this? How are you feeling wrestling with this piece? The piece also has some heightened language. So some of it is I'm testing that out because I haven't done that as a writer before, which I'm very excited that Rogue has like taken a chance on that. And so I think my next step is to take away everything we learned from the reading and probably rip it apart a little, rewrite all that fun stuff that we love and hate to do at the same time, and just see what happens next.
Beautiful. Ryan, how about you and your piece, Even When the Storm Comes? What do you hope is next?
So I'm currently in conversation with a theater company to potentially do a reading here in Cincinnati next year. If that doesn't go, then I'm going to self-produce a full production. So it's getting something next year regardless. The fun part of it is I'm used to the same cast reading it for the past like couple developmental readings, and then for Rogue, about the same cast. Well, the problem is that half of them are in New Jersey. So it'll be interesting to kind of see a new cast of the piece come together in that way.
That is awesome. That's so exciting to hear. Austin, tell us about what you hope is next for your piece.
Yeah, of course. Funny you should mention Scouts Got to Get to Conquering Your Childhood Fears getting produced at IRT Theater in New York City June 14th to the 16th for a full production. So that'll be really dope. Kind of crazy how that count came along pretty quick. Soon after kind of the whole Rogue Theater, we were filming me and Andre. So it's been a crazy ride. But yeah, that's what's next.
Amazing. Andre, anything you'd like to add to that regarding your both of your piece, Scouts Guide to Conquering Your Childhood Fear?
Yeah, I mean, I just told Austin, we're going to take this as far as it'll take us. You know what I mean? I have faith in him. I genuinely think what he did is great. And I think when it comes to great art, the only thing that we have to do is believe in it and trust in it and stay true to the joy that we have when doing it. And so, yeah, he's doing a residency at IRT, and hey, we'll see what happens. But, you know, the goal, I mean, hey, bro, the goal is Broadway, obviously, you know, later down the line, you know what I mean? That's what, wait, you know, you got to say it, you got to put it out there in the world for the universe to hear it. But we're trying to go to Broadway, man. We're trying to take it as far as the universe lets us go. And if we don't get that far, I mean, hey, that's fine too. We had fun, no regrets. And so, yeah, we're just going full steam ahead.
That is a great attitude to have. Bravo. Rounding us out, Connor, and your piece Screenplay, what do you hope is next?
Yeah, I hate to be a broken record, but I basically am going to say what everyone else just said in different variants, you know, keep the ball moving, see where that gets me. Get it. I'm really treating this as an industry reading, like Patricia mentioned, you know, hoping to see how people react to it, what the response is, what they take away, maybe what I think I put in the play that hasn't quite landed yet. And of course, the ultimate goal, like Andre was saying, is, you know, the Lyceum, Broadway. Maybe I can break that curse. Of course, I wouldn't mind a Tony along the way with something, but wherever art gets me, wherever things go, I'm just with love and gratitude, grateful for where I am.
Second part of our show, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And with such a large group, I want to jump right away to my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory? Ryan, yes, what is your favorite theater memory?
So my dad used to take me down to see Broadway on tour at the Aronoff here in Cincinnati. And I got to see Kathy Rigby play Peter Pan, which was amazing in and of itself. What struck me about the night was two things. The second that Captain Hook came on stage, all the kids in the audience, including myself, immediately just started booing him. And this man stops center stage, breaks the fourth wall, and just says, "I haven't done anything yet." Well, you know. And then at the end, we went to stage where Kathy was signing things. And I mentioned to her that I was in the beginning stages of my first community theater production. And she wrote on it, "Break a leg and think happy thoughts" on a poster, and I still have it to this day.
That is amazing. Thank you so much for that. Who would like to share next? Yes, Austin.
I'm a huge Sam Shepard, Simon Stevens fan. One of my favorite moments, like on theater stage ever, was my dad and well, my family took me to go see The Curiousness of the Dog in the Nighttime at Blumenfeld, which was like touring, I guess, throughout the country at the time. It was like, yeah, I want to say like 2016, something like that. I mean, I was younger, but one, his writing is like genius, but also like I just love the moments of silence between Christopher and Siobhan, where they were just talking about like, you know, anything can be possible, you know, regardless of limitations or how the world may perceive you, life can be for the taking, and also just enjoying the moment that you're in. It was just something, stuff that kind of just instilled in me at a young age that I was just like, wow, that was a damn good show. But yeah, that was kind of like my first ever like Broadway show, I think, in a sense as well, like Broadway play.
Amazing, a fabulous memory. Thank you for that. Yes, Connor, please.
I this is a little bit of a toss-up for me. I think my favorite is, it's still a toss-up. I'm going to go with when I rushed Prima Facie last June on Broadway with Jodie Comer. I got up at 6 a.m. I got to the Golden at 6:30. I sat on a sidewalk for 3.5 hours and I got the last rush ticket for the day for me and my friend. And it is Tuesday seeing her perform that show, which, like, if you know the play, this will make sense, but I don't think conceptually that the play should work. And it is excellent the way how well it works. Like, nothing about it should work as a one woman show. And it's the best show I've ever seen. I probably think about it once a day. It was one of my favorite memories. It was really the beginning of my friendship with that friend. And I still have the insert from the program hanging. I did not stage door because I was too overwhelmed, but that has to be it for me. Jodie Comer and Prima Facie, Prima Facie, however you want to say it. I'm still not sure, but that play.
That is an amazing memory. And we share that with you. Yes. Yes, Patricia, please.
Connor, that was on my list too. So good job. Totally agree with everything you just said. I'm going to go with one I saw, I think it was 10, 15 years ago on Broadway, which was called Brief Encounter. And it was at Roundabout. It was an Emma Rice adaptation. And she made me rethink how you can do adaptation, because I call myself a gothic feminist. So I take a lot of like Dracula, Jekyll and Hyde, and like completely twist it modern day with like a feminist spin. So she's what made me realize like how you can honor a piece, but also completely theatricalize a piece, because it's based on a Noel Coward movie. It still feels entirely theatrical with swinging chandeliers and dance and music, and how you can bring all those elements together to like tell the same story, but also tell a completely different story.
That is a fabulous, fabulous memory. Thank you for sharing that. Andre, bring us home. What is your favorite theater memory?
I'd have to say, as far as like theater I've seen, I saw Jerusalem on the West End with Mark Rylance. And aside from it just being a beautiful show, I think Mark Rylance's performance is the best performance I think I'll ever see. And it was one of those things where I was like, normally whenever I see a performance, I can understand the amount of work that was put in to achieve that kind of performance. But when I saw him, I mean, it was just, honestly, just age. Like he understood something that I don't think I'll ever understand until I get to his age. And yeah, it's a show that he does once every 10 years. And it's I was just really glad that I was able to see it at least once, you know, in my life. But yeah.
That is an incredible memory. All of you, those memories were incredible. Thank you so much for sharing them. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do any of you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you? Yes. Connor, what about you?
Yes, so I have a play, a stage reading coming up through Ripple Effect Artists. I'm happening this August in New York City, off-Broadway reading of a play called Queerbait, which is an exploration of how the same advancements in sexuality occur in middle school, high school, and college. Brief shout out to my little developmental cast if I can. Joel Mayers, River Knight, Jessica Scott Malone, Rachel Tata, Garrett Sands, and Michael Darby. I Owe You the World. That will be in August of this 2024. Queer bait. Yeah.
That is fabulous. We love ripple effect artists. Huge fans of them. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. Ryan, what's coming up with you?
So I don't know if there's any listeners out near Fort Thomas, Kentucky or Cincinnati, Ohio, but two of my 10-minute plays are part of a production called Moments of Truth. It's an exploration of different moments in life that change you, focusing specifically on like preteen and adolescence, but we do have bits and pieces that go all the way through different stages of life as well.
That's wonderful.
Austin, you got to talk about the IRT.
I mean, IRT.
Yeah,
this guy over here, man.
It's just because I've just been working on that for the majority of time, honestly. Got a great design crew, lighting crew. Cast is great. Sadly, a different cast besides me and Andre, but who knows down the line. But yeah, we've been kind of gung-ho for rehearsals and almost going into dress and tech once we get up there in New York. I'm from North Carolina, so is Andre. We're both kind of North Carolina artists, so going up to New York is like, oh crap, you know, I gotta put those funds together, you know. But luckily I've been working with a great team and a great group of artists. That's just been kind of just an amazing time. But yeah, Scouts Guys going to IRT June 14th to the 16th.
That is amazing. Oh, I can't wait to see it. That's gonna be incredible. Well, finally, we would love to ask all of you, if our listeners want more information about your piece or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so? So with that, let's go ahead and start with Ryan Vaughn and Even When the Storm Comes.
Yeah, so I have a Facebook page and an Instagram both for my playwriting specifically. Facebook is Ryan Vaughn Playwright. Instagram is Ryan Vaughn Actor and Playwright are the two handles. And then streaming actually just finally announced yesterday that we are going to be strong from June 3rd all the way through June 17th. So digital streaming is going to be going on for 2 weeks now.
Austin Willard and Andre Otabo with Scout's Guide to Conquering Your Childhood Fear. Where can we get more info?
You can reach us both. They're on Instagram. Mine is, there's quite a few Austins apparently in the world. There's a Austin Willard in the world. _Austin_Willard. So yeah, you can reach me there. Andre, I believe it's the same, just first and last name or something like that.
Yeah, just Andre _ then my last name.
Yeah, so that's where you can reach us. This digital reading will be available June 3rd to the 16th because it's a digital reading. You can purchase tickets and stream it anytime. You can reach both of us through Instagram or follow us kind of through the IRT Theater website to grab tickets June 14th to the 16th.
Patricia Lynn and Transylvania or The Weekend After Dracula Died. How can we get more information?
Yeah, you can check out my website, which is patriciamlin.com, M as in Mary. And then my Instagram is Patty Lynn Lynn. It's PATTIE and then Lynn twice, because lots of people think my name is Patty Lynn Lynn because my last name is Lynn. And then they go, what's your last name? And I go, Lynn. And then they go, your name is Patty Lynn Lynn. So that's why it's my Instagram. Easy way to remember it too. And Transylvania or The Weekend After Dracula Died is a live stage reading. So it's one night only, Tuesday, June 4th at 7 p.m. at The Flea.
And finally, Connor Wentworth and your play, Screenplay.
Yes. So you can follow along with my silly little journey in life. Connor Wentworth, Connor.Wentworth, WENTWORTH, like JG Wentworth, 877 Cash Now. We are not related. Or you can follow my playwriting specifically, which is Wentworth Writes, WRITES, Writes. Screenplay will be one night only, one day only, one matinee only at 3 p.m. on Sunday, June 9th at the Play Theater.
Well, everyone, thank you so, so much for taking the time to speak with me today. This has been absolutely amazing. I've loved hearing about all of your works. It gets me so excited and makes me want to attend the festival that much more. And congratulations to all of you on these brilliant pieces. I can't wait to see what's next for them. So thank you all so much for your time today. My guests today have been several of the artists involved with the Rogue Theater Festival. The festival, of course, is happening June 3rd through the 9th at the Fleet Theater, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting roguetheaterfestival.com. Today, we were joined by the playwright and director Ryan Vaughn and his piece, Even When the Storm Comes. The playwright and performer Austin Willard, as well as the performer Andre Otobo and their show Scout's Guide to Conquering Your Childhood Fear. The playwright Patricia Lynn and her piece Transylvania or The Weekend After Dracula Died. And the playwright Connor Wentworth and their show Screenplay. We've got information about all of these artists and their works, as well as some contact information for them, which we'll be posting in our episode description, as well as in our social media posts. But right now, run. Don't walk. Get your tickets. Sign up for these digital video on demands with some of them. Get your butt to the theater downtown at the Flea. It's a wonderful venue. It's great, especially on the weekend. There's not that much traffic. It's beautiful. But these are four fabulous works that you won't want to miss. It's all part of the Rogue Theater Festival, which is happening June 3rd through the 9th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez.
Reminding you to
turn off your cell phones.
Unwrap your candies.
And keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.